Hey, 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 what's up, everybody?
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Way That I Love You podcast. I am your host, Lil Music.
And I am your host, Sharana.
And we are always excited and delighted to be amongst our family and podcast land.
That's right.
That's right, mate.
That's right, mate.
Now, Mike, if this is your first time tuning in to the What Did I Love You podcast, just want to let you know that we are a hot, and I mean smoking hot, sexy marriage podcast, and we talk about marriage, our marriage, life's ups and downs, and how we navigate through it from our perspective.
That's right, yo. I'm not going to talk like him. We talk about our marriage and what we do to make it work, to keep it funny, and just to keep everything copacetic in our marriage. We use tools, y'all. We use these tools to edify the body in our marriage. We give you these tools to help you along the way. Now, you can use the tools that we come up with, the tools that we get from other individuals. You can twist it, turn it, bop it, anything that you want to do with it.
That's right, mate.
To help you in your marriage. We understand that marriage is different for everyone. Our marriage is our marriage and your marriage is your marriage. So if you can't use the tools, that's okay. Put it in your back pocket and give it to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the Real City to Dilly today, y'all.
Yeah.
Listen, we like to thank everybody that tunes into the Way That I Love You podcast, mm-hmm. who loves on the Way That I Love You podcast each and every week. You know who you are.
You know exactly who you are.
And they are. Are we putting it in?
Yes. North America.
North America.
South America.
South America.
Africa.
Africa.
Asia.
Asia.
Europe.
Europe.
And Oceania, baby.
Oceania, baby. We see you out there. To each and every last one of you who tune into the Way That I Love You podcast, who listen to the Way That I Love You podcast, sharing it with all of your friends, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. What other podcasts would you listen to but the Way That I Love You podcast?
Oh, yeah. Had to bring that thing right back in there and get back into gear.
We want to celebrate hashtag secure love.
Celebrate hashtag secure love?
I want to celebrate it.
Okay.
So I want, because I want those that are enduring, like enduring the longest race together, right?
Yeah, the marathon.
I want the marathon. The marriage. Journey. The marathon. Because it's not a sprint, you said, right? It's a marathon. I like when you said that. He wanted to use it as a...
I see. You like it. Keep going.
So he wanted to use it as an episode. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Nah. But I think it's a campaign.
Hey, it's always what it is, what it is.
So I want to say, you know, happy love moments to each and every last one of you. Hashtag secure love to your page, or hashtag the Way That I Love You podcast. You know, sharing the Way That I love you podcast with each and every last one of your friends on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, wherever you podcast at, you can go ahead and share that. And we also want you to what?
Subscribe
and do what, baby?
Like and share.
What else we want you to do? You know,
hit that notification button.
Hit that notification, baby.
And what else, sweetheart?
Ring that bell.
Bing, 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 bing.
Let us know that you are interested in what we have to say. And if you're not, that's okay too. Let us know what you want to hear.
Yes. And if, like she said, pass it on. Put it in your back pocket and pass it on.
That's right. We want you to write reviews, y'all. We want you to write reviews. We need those reviews. And so you can go on to our website to send those reviews. You can go on to Facebook.
Yes.
Spotify, Apple,
wherever you podcast that, write those reviews.
It only takes
YouTube,
a moment.
Write those reviews.
You can say I love it. If you just say I love it, that's fine. You can say I love the Way That I Love You podcast. Hashtag the Way That I Love You podcast.
Yes.
Hashtag secure love. Just that. Ooh, baby.
We'll
I would
get
love
that
it
network
so much.
Deal.
Yes. So we thank you all for tuning in. This is a wonderful week. We went to the the captain's ball.
Yes,
we always talk to you all about the our loved ones, our
marriage community.
Our marriage community, the diamonds and pearls. Well, it's the kings and queens marriage community.
Mm-hmm.
The Armstrongs did a captain's ball, y'all.
Phenomenal.
Amazing. Amazing. So, listen, giving yourself to me. Ooh.
Amazing.
So, listen, we had a wonderful time. And if you missed it, you know, just be ready to turn back around and be able to do that for again.
Yeah, just stay close
year.
To us.
Okay, we want you to sign up for the marriage retreat that we're doing with the Diamonds and Pearls. Go online, register. If you haven't registered, this is the last week to get your room.
Yes,
and register. This is the last week. I think this week and next week is the last week. So if you have not done that yet, you need to go online and do so. This is crucial, people.
You don't want to be sorry for
you don't
want to
be sorry for the kings and for not the kings and queens. The Kings and Queens presents the Diamonds and Pearls Marriage Retreat Ball with the Way That I Love You podcast,
hosted by us.
Ooh,
marriage and relationship coaches.
That's right, y'all. We have painting with a passionate twist, y'all. It's not painting with a twist. No, baby. You know we do things differently on
this show.
So this is painting with a passionate twist.
Ooh, yeah.
I take the paintbrush. And I put it.
Stop right there.
I place it on you, babe.
Ooh.
And you place the paintbrush on me. So that's what we doing, y'all. We placing the paintbrush on each other. So if y'all don't know, y'all better act like y'all know and go get y'all tickets to the Way That I Love You podcast on the Way That I Love You podcast.com.
Dot live.
Sorry. On the Way That I Love. We got so many darn.
No, we have one website. The Way That I Love You. Live.
The Way That I Love You. Live. The Way That I Love You. Live. The Way That I Love You. Live. So you go on that website. You go on that website and you choose your payment method.
Mm-hmm.
You choose on how you're going to do things, which you're going to pay for your day. And that's all you have to do, baby.
And make sure you do your meal selection, too, when you do the retreat and dinner.
Right. We have salmon, and then we have...
The ribs, I believe.
The ribs. So, you know, last year was delicious. Those cheesecakes and those...
Off the chain.
Chocolate cakes. Oh, my goodness gracious. But listen, we are in Season 7, Episode 4, Part 2 of Who's the Blame, where we're talking about David, Bathsheba, and... Uriah. So I'm gonna let my husband take it away, right? Because I think we ended with you
the last time. You said take it away.
I know
you jumped in and you had more to say that you had on your mind to say. So I'm going
to bringing
be,
up old stuff. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just.
It's your turn, baby. I'm gonna sit back and be quiet.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay. Right.
So you know how it left off in the last episode. We was at the point where we was deciding who's to blame. Is it Uriah, the dedicated soldier for the military, serving in the king's as the soldier for the kingsman, King David? Is it his wife, Bathsheba, who was feeling kind of lonely and just, you know, wanted to put some time out there to get that attention?
Mm-hmm.
Is she to blame? Or was it King David and his selfishness in trying to do something on his own and separate himself from God? And we can just pick up right where the...
Go ahead. You can pick up. But before you pick up, some people haven't listened to the first episode, so you want to speed them up, get them up to speed about what we're talking about.
Once again, folks, this is exactly what I was talking about.
No, it's I'm your helpmate.
Well, help. There you
All
go.
All right, y'all. Boom. So if you missed the story, we talk about King David, which is 2 Samuel. And if it goes to 1 Samuel.
Without the S. That's it.
Black people put S's on everything. 2 Samuel. So we're talking about from the first chapter up to the 11th chapter that David was being blessed, and he was just in God's favor, and God was just blessing him and moving people out of his way, and he was just like became king and like all of these things that was happening to David. But David felt insecure. to some point. This is our take. If you haven't gone back to the part one, go back into his season 7, episode 3. You'll really understand what we're talking about, right? So he felt insecure because he wanted to do things for himself at some point in time that he felt like, you know what? God is doing everything for me. I acknowledge God, and which we do. Like, we all been there. We acknowledge God when he's moving and doing things in our life, and, you know, everything is good. But our flesh messed it all up.
Yeah.
So we got a part where David started coming out of himself from the just being close to God, right? And then we got this chick called Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's like the baddest chick around, Lady B, you know. And she, you know, she's a lonely woman. She's really right now, she's trying to figure out her marriage, her personality. She's coming into womanhood. You know, not that she come into womanhood, but she feels like she wants to break loose. She feels like she's in that midlife crisis. Yeah. She's attention, right? She's not getting what she needs from home. And I feel like, even though the Bible doesn't say that, we talked about that in the last episode, that she is crying out for attention to her husband. She's like, hey, look at me. I'm over here. And when you don't get attention, a lot of the times a woman will start seeking attention elsewhere, right?
Right.
Doesn't make it right, but that's just put it into perspective. And then you got Bathsheba's husband, which is Uriah. Uriah is dedicated to the streets, so to say. He's dedicated to the army, King David's army, to be exact, right?
Right.
He's
right.
dedicated. He doesn't want to leave the men behind. He's just all in. But he yet...
Soldier boy.
Yeah, soldier boy. But he didn't cover his house. He's not covering his wife. You know, and it doesn't say exactly that. So Will and I talked about how we just kind of unfold that thing and like looked at it because we're marriage coaches and we look at things from a perspective of a broad range to say, wait a minute, there's some pieces that's missing. And even though those pieces were missing, God allowed us to understand, because we are men and women that go through these things exactly. These stories are not just stories. But these stories are to help us understand the things that we go through.
Right.
Right? So Bathsheba's on the gram. David's on the gram. He's looking at Bathsheba's pictures. She's picking up what she's putting down. And so we talked about how he didn't go to war with Uriah with all his soldiers,
right?
Because he wanted to stay behind. We talked about how he already knew Bathsheba. She knew what she was about because she was a bad chick and everybody knew about her. And they were like, "Yo, that's Uriah's chick. You know, that's Uriah's woman. That's his wife." And like you said, David was in his own, doing his own thing. He was trying to separate, become his own man from God. And this is where the story left off, because Uriah wasn't home. And there's Bathsheba is walking around. And so I want you to fill them in, because now we're at the part when they're at the roof, on the roof. Okay. Right. So King David is on the roof. Bathsheba's on the roof. So go ahead.
So King David is on the roof, Bathsheba, and he's walking around, and he happens to notice Bathsheba taking a bath, right? So he's like, oh, okay. So he calls a man, or, you know, someone who was there that I guess he has some type of relationship with, but you can tell it wasn't like a real personal relationship. Because David is king, he can summons anyone to do an investigation. Now, this whole investigation deep dive was just a ploy from my point of view.
My point of view as well.
Because
he already knew who she was.
Right.
They've been flirting for months. Go ahead.
So he sends the young man to get some more details. The young man comes back and runs it down. She's the daughter of this person. I think Eliam.
The wife of.
The daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, all right, Uriah's in the army. He knows exactly
where Uriah is and where he's at, because he decided that he wasn't going to go and fight this fight because he wanted to get at Bathsheba. He knew what time, what day, to be on that roof because they already had been sending each other hashtag emojis, okay?
And traditionally, the king normally goes and fight with his men.
So who's to blame?
So who's to blame? Mm-hmm. That's what we try and figure out here. We're trying to uncover the untold story of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah.
Right.
In the context of relationships, marriage, what we deal with and trying to understand what happened back then, there's nothing new under the sun. It's still happening to this day. Mm-hmm. And we have tools that can allow us to overcome and
tell
get
them,
through
baby,
these
we got what? We got what to help?
We have tools.
We have tools.
Amongst tools upon tools upon tools that will help you navigate through these tough situations.
Yeah, because this is, like you said, this is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
We got the Instagram now, y'all.
Social media.
So that's the rooftop.
Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever.
So when you, it's like David, he's been checking out Bathsheba for a minute because she's been putting her pictures on the gram and she's been telling her husband, he knows some pictures is up there. Her husband knew that she was going to the roof, to rooftop. This not the first time somebody was like, listen, your wife is up on that rooftop. She looking bad, yo. You better tell her, come down off the rooftop. But Uriah is not taking care of business at home. He is ignoring his wife, y'all. He is not really trying to figure out what she needs. She's in a different stage in her life. And maybe where she was at with him traveling and, you know, going to...
Being a military wife.
Or just... She was okay with that, but she's in a different season. Mm-hmm. And she needs different things. And Uriah is not handling his business. So who's to blame? Are we blaming Uriah for not covering his wife? And not paying attention to her needs and putting the military over, you know, over his wife, right?
Who's to blame?
Are we blaming?
Is that really the case?
Right. Like, we don't know. They got
to
get
what happened for them to even get to this point. Something had to transpire between the both of them. For
right.
Them to get to that point.
Do you think Uriah was just like, I'm done? I can't make you happy.
Could have been.
Or he's just one of those dudes that just don't know what's going on. And his wife is throwing out all these signals. And he's just not picking it up what she's putting down.
The possibilities are endless. If there was a tough situation and he's now inundated in his military and his mental is for his men and is for his mission, he can easily be absorbed and not even have people to support him in how to navigate through tough situations. So he's masking it with
the
military.
Don't have a community for marriage. Hello. So listen, as you talked about last week about tickling it from a man's perspective with David. And I'm going to talk about looking at it from a woman's perspective with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman, when you're saying to your husband, hey, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need, and he's not picking up what you're putting down, it starts to weigh. And this is why it is very, very important to have great communication with one another. To put out, even if it hurts, like, hey, I'm not being fulfilled in this area. When you tell your spouse you're not being fulfilled in whatever area, it's not so that spouse can feel bad. The intentions is never for that person to feel bad.
Right.
The intentions is because you want your spouse to fulfill that area so you could be fulfilled. Like, you know that person. It's like you're talking to your child. I know you have the capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to go. I know the capabilities are there. I just need you to have awareness. So I feel like when her going up on that roof, she was saying, hey, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. And it's not her first time on the roof. Hence the fact that David seen her, saw her. And this is not the first time that David saw her. Mm-hmm. He just never really acted on it.
Right.
They've been making Google eyes because he knew. The Bible says that he decided that he wasn't going to go to war.
Right.
With the husband.
That was a selfish decision.
David. Right. With the husband. Because he knew that Uriah was going to be on the battlefield. But they haven't gone to the battlefield yet. So let's get down to, listen, in the beginning of 2 Samuel, it talks about how David, it's 10 chapters on how David was blessed and how things were happening. It's one chapter of David's downfall. it only takes one season of your life for you to have a downfall. One chapter. It's 10 chapters of how he got built up, but it's one chapter on how he had a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that.
Let's get into that. And you know how he's well known and was, you know, blessed and everything, but this story always is going to be associated and tied to King David.
Mm-hmm.
So the act that actually happened after he found out what was she about and who she belonged to and what she was doing and who she was, he requested her presence to make love to her, mm-hmm. folks. And they did.
They got down with the get down. What is it called? Come on with the get down. That's what happened. He said, I had a song of mine. It was the old school song. It was, I can't think of it right now. It'll come to mind. Go ahead.
All right. So you know the deed happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the king with a married woman, and it happened. And not only did it happen, she got pregnant.
She got pregnant. But before she got pregnant, it says that, it doesn't say how long they've been together, but they were together for a minute. This was going on. Because
mm-hmm.
it said after a month, she washes off the unclean. And so some might say the unclean was her menstrual cycle. But as we got into it, it says a month of unclean. That means they've been together for a minute.
Yeah, it said she was purifying herself from her monthly cleansing.
Right. So we talked about how is she talking about her menstrual? I said, no, I don't think it's about the menstrual. I think it was a month of her being unclean. Unclean could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
She was not with her husband. She was unclean. She was with David for a month.
Now, see, even with you saying that makes me think that it wasn't just one specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a combination of that.
Well, all of it. I mean? But then she found out you didn't got it in for a month. You getting pregnant.
Right. Because that will happen. Your menstrual will happen within a month.
Well, but I'm just saying you didn't.
So that was like a double metaphoric thing for me.
Right.
That's just my eyes seeing it, that, you know what I mean? She's been in this position for a month. Uriah is not home.
So that lets you know that Uriah was not home for a whole month.
Yeah.
She was lonely.
Yeah.
And even when he was deployed. And even when Uriah was home, because it lets you know that Uriah didn't, when she was walking around that roof beforehand,
mm-hmm.
before all of this was happening,
she was used to being lonely.
She was used to being lonely because Uriah, even when Uriah was home, he still wasn't home, y'all. He was home, but not home. And so that's why David got to know who she was.
Mm.
Because they didn't say that he went off the war. It says he just went off the war. So before then, that Uriah was not being present. He was not covering his wife. So who's to blame? Are we blaming David for having a moment of insecurity?
And
flesh? Are we blaming Bathsheba
mm-hmm.
for being a woman who was lonely and, you know, that moment of flesh, right? And are we blaming Uriah for not being the head of his household and not allowing himself to communicate? I don't believe Uriah had a relationship with God.
That's possible.
His house wasn't in order.
That's possible.
Right?
It could have been unequally yoked.
It was unequally yoked. It wasn't a relationship there that he knew exactly how to maintain both his love for the military and a love for a wife. And when you don't have balance,
mm-hmm.
things are out of whack. So these are a lot of things that people go through, babe,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, don't know how to put things in order when it comes to what Uriah was dealing with. So we got all of that. You said Bathsheba wound up to be pregnant. She got impregnated by King David.
Yep. And she sent word back to King David mm-hmm. to let him know that she was pregnant.
So she hit him up on the gram. She said, listen, I'm using it because it's today's
vernacular.
It's today, right.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I'm pregnant and it's your baby.
And he didn't deny it.
He was a stand-up man. He was like, all right. But
he was shiesty.
No, he wasn't stand-up. He was shiesty. Because he told Uriah, he like, dang, all right.
He had to think now, all right, I got her pregnant. I know I got her pregnant. How can I not make myself look like the bad guy?
And I don't think about him making himself look like a bad guy all completely, right? He had they spent the month together. He created a love for her.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make sure that she wasn't disregarded.
Mm.
Because in those days, if you had a baby by an outside man, you were considered doomed, done, finished,
yeah, as a woman.
Trashy as a woman. You're done. Like, so he wanted to make sure that she could retain.
Still walk the streets.
Still walk the streets.
Still be the baddest chick out there.
That's right. So he tried to think of a scam or a scheme to say, all right, bring Uriah back so he can make love to his wife.
Right.
So then he could say it's his baby.
Yeah. And that was crazy.
Plan failed.
But look how he did it, though. Like, he summons Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joab was a part of this whole situation, too. So he's the fifth man or the fifth person.
Okay.
Or is it the fourth?
Joab. Well, fourth, it doesn't fifth, matter. It doesn't we didn't matter. Talk about Joab.
But, yeah. So, he was sent to bring Uriah to the king, King David. And so David said, yo, man, what's going on? He trying to chop it up, small talk.
This like, is a dude summons another dude that's off the streets, don't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So he called him in. He got on his army. He's excited. He probably seeing the king. He's one of his soldiers. He's thinking, you know, oh, what do I owe the honor of this?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the behind the scenes, he done slept with this brother's wife. And now he's trying to smooth him over to send him home to her to make love to her to cover up this out of wedlock child.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells Uriah, hey, man, look, I know you're doing your thing out there in the battlefield. Why don't you just take some time off, go be with your wife and, you know, lay with her and everything. And then, you know, day two come, you come back and you fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you just relax. You look.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a break. That's on me. You take a break. I'm letting you. Mm-hmm. I'm letting you breathe a little bit.
The booty's on me.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, Uriah took the instructions, but yet he did not go home.
Point. Who's to blame? Uriah did not go home to his wife. And so the fast
being
forward.
Being instructed by the king.
Being instructed by the king. So listen, when the king tells you to do something, you do it.
Right.
Right. So being instructed by the king, I want to fast forward because I know we're running out of time. But
running out of what time?
I don't know, but we think we're running out of time. So he's going to fast forward. I'm going to fast forward. So he's been instructed to go make love to his wife. He didn't. He never even told his wife he was home. He was home. That let me know. I was like, babe, it's some marital issues there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he told David, I can't go home to make love to my wife because the other guys at camp, you know, they're in this situation and eating, you know, slop and, you know, sleeping on the ground. And, you know, slop. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they out in tents.
They out in the tents and I feel bad.
Protecting our precious gems and everything. So,
right. Yeah. And I don't want to go home and make love to my wife because that'd be wrong. Okay, so it's like he didn't want to do that. But what stopped him from letting his wife know that he was okay? He was good. He was there. He could have hugged her. He could have kissed her. There's so many things that he could have done
mm-hmm.
to let her know that I'm home, right? And I love you, and I'm here. And although, but I don't want to be comfortable because the king has called me to do this X, Y, Z, but I feel like I can't. That let us know that there was some relationship issues.
Definitely deep-rooted relationship.
Deep-rooted relationship because he didn't even go home.
He didn't
He
go
been
home.
At the bar all night long the second day, hanging out with the king.
The king summons them again. And this time, the king got him drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Said, maybe, okay, you didn't go home. Well, let me get you sauced up a little bit
mm-hmm.
and then send you home. Because I know when you sauced up, I definitely can get you home and
mm-hmm.
we can make my game plan happen.
So
even sauced up
he didn't want to go home.
Uriah did not want to go home.
So you know if you sauced listen y'all, you looking for your beau,
you and you refuse to go home
again. You could have said, babe, I can't do what we want to do, but I can let you know that I'm here and I love you. So by him not doing that, it says that he never went home, but he said, I can't eat. I can't, you know, he said, how would I feel to sleep in my own bed, mm-hmm. to be comfortable, to eat and this, that, and the other. But then I said, babe, but he did all of this with the king.
He turned around and did it with the
king. He ate with the king, full belly. He drank with the king just to have a good time. Mm-hmm. He laughed, he joked. So he, for me, this is the way I see it, because I would have said to you, like, you ain't had no problem being with the king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how a woman look like. You ain't had no problem hanging out with this person.
Mm-hmm.
You was able to talk and laugh and joke and da-da-da-da-da, but when it came to me, you couldn't do that. Come on now.
I'm starting to question it now.
I'm starting to question.
There's some struggles within Uriah.
And in their marriage. There's some struggles within Uriah. There's a struggle within their marriage. And so when you got a broken person.
And that brings back to life your statement that you made.
Mm-hmm.
That he possibly did not have a relationship with God because he didn't know how to navigate through all these issues. And I mean, like, tough issues.
Tough issues. He had some things going on mentally about his marriage and where he stood and the man that he wanted to be and how he was supposed to be a coverer. And so when you have a broken person, which I'm going to say Uriah was broken.
That whole combination was broken.
An insecure person was Bathsheba, right? She was insecure about who she was. And then you had a person that was stepping out on his own, which was insecure as well,
mm-hmm.
which was David, because he was wanting to do things his way. So he was stubborn. They all going to find each other. The enemy is going to allow now. You give the enemy a foothold,
mm-hmm.
a footstool. Is the footstool or foothold? Foothold. Yeah,
give him
an inch. He's going to take them out. And so that's when the baby came. Because all of these things, nobody was in the center. Nobody placed themselves in the center of the Lord. Nobody put him first.
Mm-hmm.
It was all of these things, people dealing with their own situations and not giving things over.
Right.
And this is what happened. God. A mess.
A hot mess.
A hot mess.
A hot mess. Because then, like, even after that being drunk and him not going home, the king, I don't know if he got frustrated, but then he got more deviant. He said, all right, you're not going to go home as a drunk man. And your thing is war. You want to fight? I got something for you. So he sent the message by him, summoned him back and gave him a note with regard to have him put on the front line to the chief soldier.
I want to stop it right there because I think we said this is going to be a part two. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a three part, babe.
Okay.
This is going to be a three part. I promise y'all, y'all going to love it. It's going to be a three part situation because we got a whole nother situation going on because Joab.
Who?
King David's mm-hmm. right hand man.
Joab.
Nathan comes and tell him about himself. He was accountability part.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing wrong, you don't see you doing wrong. You don't even recognize how deep your crap is, right?
Yeah.
And so Nathan comes as his friend, but also as a person that's looking at things because he's in the right place.
He's
in the right place for God.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And so he's telling David, listen.
He said, I want to share something.
He tell him a whole story, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is about David. So we're going to leave it right there.
Mm.
And we're going to pick it up and next week, which would be season 7, episode 4, or episode 5.
Yeah.
It would be part 3, who's to blame? Do we blame David? David was dealing with the flesh. He was a man that wasn't sure about where he stood. He knew that God was doing things in his life, but he felt insecure as a man because he didn't feel like he had balanced himself. He felt like he wasn't putting in enough of him, right? Mm-hmm. We all are there. We're doing things, we're being blessed, but then somewhere along the line, we lose sight of God.
And this is how flesh rises up within us and catches us off guard to where we can't even recognize who we are.
Right. And then we have Bathsheba, a wife, a woman, and most perfect, she's trying to find herself. She's coming out into a new part of herself and she's like calling for her husband, like, listen, I'm in a new season right now.
She's
But she's in a new season. She's like, baby, I need you more and more. I need you on a different level right now. And I can't play. I can't wait for you to put me on the back panel.
Now, would you consider where she's at in desperation?
I think she's in, when she go up to that roof, when you start going on the gram and you start making them thought pictures, and she, like they said that she went on the roof and she got naked up there. Took a bath. She was in desperation. She was saying to her husband, that was not originally for David. Mm. It was for him. Yeah. She was saying, listen, look at me. I need you. I need to be touched. I need to be noted. I need to be looked at. I need to be admired. So who's to blame? Was it her? Was it Bathsheba? Was it David? Or was it Uriah? You know, this is a husband. He's a hard worker. He's a good man. He take care of his house. He take care of the bills. He makes sure everything is going on from the naked eye, right? But in behind the scenes, he's not really covering his wife. He's allowing her to feel insecure. He's allowing to put his friends first. That was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. He's putting everybody before her. And when you put everybody before the person that God has put you with, it sometimes becomes a wear and tear.
There's consequences.
Right. Uriah does not know how to balance his life with his marriage because he has not put God first.
There is no community
right.
to support this marriage.
Right. So we want to talk about, you know, that we want to give a tool. I think the tool is today is to try to find out how to put in perspective, putting God first in your marriage so you can kind of fall in line. That's the first tool for the day, but we're going to go into deeper tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
For next week. I thought this was going to be a part, you know, two part, but it can't be. This is so deep. If you haven't read, we're reading from
2 Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Chapter, you can read from chapter 1 all the way up to
chapter 12.
Okay, so we're going into his friend, I'm gonna say Daniel's friend Nathan, which is chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so, y'all, this is some real stuff. This is not, this is some real
this
stuff.
This is not for play.
This is not for play. And you know, you read the word, you're like, oh, this is, you know, this kind of like not real or whatever. If it's real in real life, it's real then, right?
Yeah, and some
it's
people,
nothing new.
Some people don't even know that this stuff exists in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The things that we see in this world happens in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And it's to help us.
And it's a tool. It's tools all through there.
So we take these tools.
Yeah, we take these tools and we use the wisdom that God gives us to make it practical for today's time.
That's right. So we understand that everybody is not where we are, and we understand that everybody is not Christians, but this is not just for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is for everyone under the sun. Take what you can take what you can learn from it, give back to somebody else if you can't use it, put it in your back pocket, like you said, and give it to somebody else.
Absolutely.
But listen, I thank God for all of you. I thank God for you, baby. I thank God for this word. It's the way that I love you.
Yes, it is.
Listen, I'll see you later.
I see you, beautiful.
Right now.
See y'all next week, part 3.